Welcome to the What Really Happened radio show. Putting America first, second, and third. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
Aloha, America. Welcome to our show today. It's Tuesday, June 3rd, 2014. Getting into the week, all kinds of stuff going on. We got a very busy news day today. The phone lines are open, 800-313-9443, 800-313-9443. Sam is sitting in our control room, his hand hovering over the phone, ready to swoop on down and grab it when it rings. Put you on the air to talk about whatever it is that riles you today here. Now, obviously, the big breaking news right now is this whole exploding scandal of this supposed Taliban prisoner of war, Bergdahl. And Obama made a big deal. He traded five captured Taliban officials that were taken during the invasion of Afghanistan to get this guy Bergdahl back. And he was bringing this guy back. You know, he's been in captivity for 5 years. We're bringing him home. See, we look after our serving military. And he's trying to desperately offset that VA scandal. And so he just did this publicity stunt. He took these five Taliban officials from Guantanamo and sent them back. Got Bergdahl back. And now this latest publicity stunt has blown up in his face just like Benghazi did. Because it's, and we teased this yesterday, that this was already starting to break back then. This Bergdahl wasn't a prisoner. He was a deserter and possibly a collaborator. And so it's this huge, you know, and of course, John McCain's having a field day with this. He can't keep the grin off his face, you know, going on about this. Was this even legal to do it? And they're going back and forth. Earlier today, Jay Carney's replacement at the White House is starting off his new job here with a trial by ordeal, I guess. Because the spin they were trying to put out earlier is, well, it doesn't really matter if he was a deserter or not. We're showing our commitment to bring all of our boys home, which we know that's a complete lie. Because a lot of those sealed coffins that come back from the war zone have nothing in them but a big lead weight. So you've got something to bury and cry over and achieve closure. But apparently it was known at the time he left he was deserting. He left notes. He'd been sending emails, which, by the way, if you're in the military, just count on your emails being read all the time, saying how disgusted he was with America, how this war was not at all what they'd been told it was about. And apparently he was saying he wanted to leave, and his father came back and said, you know, do what your conscience tells you, which appears to be what happened. So they've known all along this guy wasn't a POW. He wasn't taken prisoner by the Taliban. It's another concocted story to sort of create this illusion of heroic American militaryhood, like Pat Tillman or Jessica Lynch, and those stories turn out to be completely bogus. Special forces apparently have known all along where this guy was staying. And they wouldn't authorize a rescue because they didn't want him coming back. See, here's a problem. The government doesn't admit that desertion is a major problem. Might give all those other soldiers and sailors and airmen other ideas. During World War II, during these horrible daylight bombing raids over Germany, that were costing so many American lives. Well, a lot of those planes that didn't come back, didn't crash and weren't shot down, they were flown to neutral countries and landed in a meadow someplace, and the crew just got out and took on whole new lives. So they don't like to admit it when there's a desertion problem going on in the military, but it does seem like there is. We got reports from that Fort Hood shooting that was blamed on a convenient Muslim. But what actually happened is a group of soldiers who had come back, thought their tours of duty were over, were informed, hey, sorry, stop loss, we're going to send you back for another tour. And they freaked and they opened fire on their officers, and it had to be hushed up because of all the other military that are just at the breaking point from all of this nonsense that's going on. Bergdahl was writing in his email, everything here, these people need help, yet what they get is the most conceited country in the world telling them they are nothing and they are stupid. He described his battalion commander as a conceited old fool and said the only decent sergeants were all planning to leave as soon as they could get out and were actively telling the soldiers, you do the same, get out as quick as you can. And he concluded by saying, I am ashamed to be an American, and the title of U.S. soldier is just the lie of fools. I am sorry for everything. The horror that is America is disgusting. Perfectly in agreement with everything he's saying. And So this latest publicity stunt from the White House has just blown up in Obama's face. It's a huge embarrassment. Well, now they've had to back off that thing about, oh, it doesn't matter if he deserted. You know, we got him back. He's coming home and he's a hero. Remember yesterday Obama was posing with his parents to get his, you know, picture back in the media. And now today they're having to say that, yeah, actually, given all the evidence that he himself left, not just the emails, but notes left on his bunk when he walked off the base in Afghanistan, they're going to bring him up now on desertion charges. Going to face a court-martial. And everybody's laughing at Obama because he traded these five top Taliban officials to get back one guy that was being promoted as a returning hero, and now it turns out he was a deserter all along. Oh, my goodness. Okay, so do we have Steve in Massachusetts or not? Not right now. Okay, all right. Over in Ukraine, two more helicopters have been shot down, and video has surfaced of these helicopter gunships simply strafing the ground in the eastern Ukraine. Just anybody at all. They're just coming in there. We reported on the bombing of civilians yesterday, and at first the junta in Kiev was saying, no, it's not us. Who would it be? Oh, they're bombing themselves to make us look bad. And now they are confirming that the Air Force working for Kiev fired over 150 missiles into Lugansk. Now, missiles are not very discriminating. They kill everybody. And these strikes were carried out with non-guided missiles. In other words, just simple solid-fuel rocket, explosive tip, just an area denial weapon, blowing everything up. This is Poroshenko proving he's a tough guy and a strong man. And he's just going to go out and kill everybody until the survivors agree to live the rest of their lives as slaves to the European Central Bank. That's what's going on here. So, of course, Obama wants to spend another $1 billion to fortify Europe against the Russian threat. That's what's going on over here. Meanwhile, of course, in Syria, where they're saying that Syria's government is killing the Syrian people, which doesn't really seem to be going on, but that's the lie, and that's why we're supposed to go in and invade Syria and take out this evil government that's killing its own people. But up in Ukraine, we've got an equally evil, and I might add, installed by force government that's killing their own people, and the U.S. is just shoveling ammunition and military supplies at them as fast as they can. There's no consistent theme in America's foreign policy other than if you do what we say, we will support you, and if you have even a shred of independent spirit in you, we will bomb you and kill you and seriously mess you up. Meanwhile, up at the United Nations, Russia has gone into the Security Council with a new resolution calling for an immediate end to all violence in Ukraine, and a ceasefire. And that's it. That's all they're asking for. And I'm going to guarantee you right now the United States is going to veto it. Meanwhile, down in Syria, they're having their elections. And as expected, Assad is winning by a landslide. And equally as expected, the American corporate media and the U.S. government are saying, oh, it doesn't mean anything. It's complete sham. You know, it's complete fraud here. You know, the Syrian people actually hate this guy. They, you know, they're voting for him because they're afraid of him, which is nonsense because Syria's elections are the good old-fashioned one where you mark your ballot inside a little booth, put it in a box, your name is not on it, nobody knows how you voted. And besides which, if the Syrian people didn't want Assad, they wouldn't bother showing up to vote at all, certainly not in those outlying consulate areas. And Assad would have as low a voter turnout as Sisi just did in Egypt. So this whole election is absolutely destroying the U.S. justification for the covert attempted overthrow of Syria. We'll be right back.
First. earthquakes, hurricanes, nuclear accidents, terror attacks, and all-out social collapse. With the world today more volatile than ever, the future has never looked more uncertain. Survivalist Magazine is the one resource you can't afford to be without. Claim your free trial subscription now at www.survivalist.com and your first issue ships immediately. Get all the details and more at www.survivalist.com or order by phone. Call 1-866-437-6570. Your survival may depend on it.
This is Dr. Robert Rowan here to give you an important message regarding stem cell treatment. World-renowned physician, stem cell expert, and friend Dr. David Steinblatt has performed over 8,000 stem cell treatments since 2001. Bone marrow stem cells are completely legal to do here in the USA. The bone marrow stem cell treatment is not only fast, done in less than 2 to 3 hours, but is relatively pain-free and has little to no recovery time. Dr. David Steinblatt and his office are able to help and treat patients who suffer from cerebral palsy, traumatic brain injury, stroke, macular degeneration, arthritis, Parkinson's disease, congestive heart failure, and more. Personally using their services for my knee and seeing great improvement, Dr. David Steinblatt is highly recommended by me. Go to stemcellmd.org or call 800-300-1063 to find out more. Again, stemcellmd.org or call 800-300-1063 today to receive more information.
Hi, my name is David Merlin from takefromcaesar.us. Income is defined in the tax code. All property is a cost, including labor, according to statute. You're deprived of the provisions of Section 83 whenever you pay an income tax on your compensation. According to Section 83, only the excess over the amount paid is gross income. The government can't so much as provide an interpretation of Section 83 of its own. Get your paradigm shift and understanding today at takefromcaesar.us.
The IRS is a private corporation, not a government agency. Income tax is collected by voluntary compliance. To learn to unvolunteer or discontinue volunteering into the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com and immediately implement Strategy 1. The process must be repeated each and every time. Paper, letter, envelope, presentment, etc. Always and forever. Failure equates to acceptance, subsequent resultant contract, and you pay or go to jail by your own consent and agreement contract. Avoid recontracting. Visit escapeharassment.com and implement Strategy 1 immediately. Bar lawyers and accountants won't help you. Why wait? Get Strategy 1 and immediately implement it to divorce the IRS today and forever. That's escapeharassment.com, Strategy 1, to be free from the IRS. escapeharassment.com.
Watch out for the police. They're lurking in every corner. They'll beat you down for your stash. With handcuffs and guns, I bet they're having fun when they take away your cash. They're on the rise, this oversized gang of pirates on the seas. And don't you get booked.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. And Sam in the control room just notified me that apparently we had another strange dropout of our Skype connection during the last segment. And neither one of us can remember what I was talking about, but it probably wasn't important anyway. Or maybe it was really important. Somebody didn't want you to hear it. There seems to be a lot of that going on. Been a couple of attacks on my server. Have you seen all the news coverage? Everybody's saying, oh, 2 weeks to a major cyber attack. I have a very serious concern about that. We'll talk about it a little bit later in the show, but I want to finish up on all the news on all the wars that the United States has started all over the globe here. There's a very alarming story coming out of Afghanistan. Apparently, a drone strike in Afghanistan seriously injured a four-year-old girl. In fact, it's described as she basically had her face blown off in this drone strike. And apparently, what is now coming out, the family is saying U.S. military forces came in and kidnapped this four-year-old girl, and she's now, if she's still alive, in an undisclosed location. Apparently, they're very concerned that somebody was going to get a picture of that and put it out there on the social media and upstage of those cops down in Georgia who flash-banged a little baby in a crib last week. But they're running around scrambling, trying to keep a lid on all of this stuff. By the way, speaking of keeping a lid on, over in Saudi Arabia, for the last 3 years, there's been a growing movement against the Saudi royal family's rule, which tends to be pretty much corrupt, as is every other government on earth. And apparently, it's been building for 3 years, and it's not getting a lot of coverage here in the U.S. because the Saudi government is buddy-buddy with the U.S. government, and therefore they're the good guys, and we don't talk about how unhappy their people are. We've seen the same thing over in places like Bahrain. It's only if we don't like the government that the U.S. corporate media will report on those poor, struggling, suffering people yearning for freedom. So, anyway. Now, yesterday, following the swearing-in of the new unity Palestinian government, Benjamin Netanyahu was out whining all over the world to anybody who would still listen to him about how anybody who works with the new Palestinian unity government is supporting terror, that really you're a bunch of anti-Semites and Hitler lovers and the rest of it. And apparently it's falling on deaf ears, including here in the United States of America, where the U.S. government now officially recognizes the Palestinian unity government and is willing to basically talk with them about resolving some of these matters there. And, of course, today Israel's Netanyahu and various government officials, members of the Knesset, are out there just screaming at the United States, how dare you do that? You're not allowed to deal with any government we don't approve for you. And they're out there making all these dire predictions saying, you know, any collaboration with Hamas and they kill women and children, like Israel hasn't been all along here. And it's really ironic because the reality is Hamas was initially created and funded by Israel, specifically by the security service Shin Bet, in order to be a controlled opposition to Yasser Arafat's Palestine Liberation Organization. See, Israel likes to play this little game. To get out of having actual, real, meaningful peace talks with Palestine, they always like to have at least two groups claiming to be the government. And then Israel can say, well, we don't know if we're supposed to talk to these people or these other people over here, so we're not going to show up at the peace talks. And when Yasser Arafat pulled the PLO together and it looked like he was going to unify all Palestine, Israel covertly set up Hamas so they could go on playing that same game. Do we talk to PLO? Do we talk to Hamas? And we don't know, so we're not going to show up at the peace talks. Then Yasser Arafat was assassinated, and the PLO collapsed, and all of a sudden Hamas found itself the de facto government of a unified Palestine. And Israel panicked and set up what eventually became Fatah, so they could go on playing the same avoidance game again. Do we talk to Hamas, or do we talk to Fatah? We don't know, so we're not going to show up at the peace talks. And that's why they're in such a panic now that Fatah and Hamas have shaken hands and formed a new unified Palestinian government, because now Israel has lost that little game they like to play about not knowing who they should talk to, because Hamas and Fatah has just gotten together and said, you talk to us. And if you don't, then we know it's Israel that doesn't really want peace, which we've kind of known all along. We're going to grab a quick phone call here. John in Chicago. Aloha, John. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mike. How are you?
Fine.
All right. I just saw this over at the Daily Paul. I guess it's a few days old, but, you know, Ted Cruz is on the Senate Armed Services Committee, mm-hmm. and I guess he voted with everyone else to pass the part of the NDAA that says we need to arm the Syrian rebels, and it was only Mike Lee of Utah that said no. He said that'd be like pouring gasoline on the fire. But you got to keep hammering this point home over and over and over again until these people get it, because like you said, you know, Obama just went to Poland, didn't he, yesterday? And he said, hey, the chocolate oligarch in Ukraine's got to keep doing his thing to keep the eastern guys in line.
Mm-hmm.
So they still want to overthrow Assad. They still want to arm al-Qaeda, which is hypocrisy. And then looking through the list of the guys on the membership committee, I see Jeff Sessions is on there, too. Now, remember when Jeff Sessions was absolutely outraged when Leon Panetta told him right to his face that when NATO calls our troops out, we go?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there's a lot of positive talk about Ted Cruz, but, I mean, I'm just absolutely sick of hearing it. None of these guys are worth their salt at all. They just want more war and more war.
Change channels then. Okay, all right, we're going to let you go. And, by the way, there is one misstatement I have to take issue with. Members of these committees don't pass portions of a bill. They assemble the bill, and then it goes to the floor for a vote, and it's an all-or-nothing deal. For a long time, there was talk about a presidential line-item veto possibly as a way of getting around this problem of members of Congress loading up a bill that's certain to pass with all kind of irrelevant riders that couldn't stand a chance on their own. I'll give you a good example. The Homeland Security Act. Everybody said this is going to pass here, so they put in that provision indemnifying vaccine manufacturers from damages caused by their products. Now, by itself, that bill would not have been able to pass the Congress, but they tack it into this other, and it rides through. That's why they call it a rider. And when you see a bill going before Congress, you have to look out for that little phrase that they use in the title, and for other purposes, because that is basically advertising that buried somewhere in that giant stack of paper are some things that they're trying to have run into the law by means of attaching it to a bill that's certain to pass. And it's probably stuff that you definitely should be paying attention to if you're a member of Congress here. Now, getting on back over to the war zones, plural, the head of the International Atomic Energy Agency, Yukiya Amano, is out there saying Iran's compliance with the P5+1 preliminary agreement has been complete and total. And he says Iran is doing everything that they promised to do. And then, of course, he backs off and says, you know, there's always going to be room for doubt. There's always going to be room for doubt. So basically what they're saying is Iran is keeping their side of the agreement, even though the United States isn't, but we still have to be suspicious of Iran. It's amazing. Meanwhile, if you live in Delaware, be prepared for some heavy traffic for the coming weeks here, because apparently the Interstate 495 bridge over the Christina River in Wilmington has been closed when they discovered four of its support columns are now tilting, going off plumb line, as it were. This bridge normally carries about 90,000 vehicles a day, and they're going to have to basically shut it down until either they repair it or replace the bridge here. So Obama can spend another $1 billion to guard against the Russian threat, and $18 million to Kiev to murder Ukrainians, but continues to let the critical infrastructure of the U.S. rot. We got to take a break for commercials. We got a caller on the line. I'm going to take your call as soon as we come back.
Knob Creek Gun Range invites you to come out and support the Second Amendment, the right to keep and bear arms, the country's biggest machine gun and military gun show. The three-day event is October 12th, 13th, and 14th at Knob Creek, Kentucky, where the public can participate in the high-power action. Thousands attend this semi-annual event. This is a must-see for all gun enthusiasts and collectors. There will be hundreds of vendors for every type of firearm and accessory available in the marketplace today. Go to www.machinegunshoot.com for all the scheduled events and directions to Knob Creek, Kentucky. On-site camping facilities available, or go to www.machinegunshoot.com for hotel and motel accommodations. Only $10 admission fee per day, $5 for 12 and under. Knob Creek Gun Range is also open year-round for your shooting enjoyment. Call 502-922-4457 for more information, or visit www.machinegunshoot.com.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Ooh, nice shooting. Hey, that's a sweet AK-47 chest rig. Is that multicam?
Yep, got it from StrikeHardGear.com.
Strike what?
StrikeHardGear.com.
Set your sights on StrikeHardGear.com. Tough, tactical gear for your Soviet-style weapon that's made in the USA. Affordable, plus a no-questions-asked 30-day money-back guarantee and lifetime replacement warranty. StrikeHardGear.com. Go ahead, pull the trigger.
I'm Larry Pratt of Gun Owners of America, and I want to invite you to join the Second Amendment movement with Gun Owners of America, the only no-compromise gun lobby in Washington. Take action by becoming a GOA member today by going to gunowners.org. Gun Owners members receive the GOA newsletter, fact sheets, alerts, certificates, and more. But there's more to joining GOA than just a list of member benefits. The United Voice of GOA members has been successful in defeating restrictive legislation designed to disarm our population. GOA has helped get strong constitutional members of Congress like Senator Ted Cruz elected. And with your help, GOA will continue to successfully defend the rights of gun owners in the courts. Participate in our efforts to restore and preserve the nation's right to keep and bear arms. All contributions to our lobbying efforts are used exclusively to support or oppose firearms legislation. Join online at gunowners.org.
This is Dr. Robert Rowan here to give you an important message regarding stem cell treatment. World-renowned physician, stem cell expert, and friend Dr. David Steinblatt has performed over 8,000 stem cell treatments since 2001. Bone marrow stem cells are completely legal to do here in the USA. The bone marrow stem cell treatment is not only fast, done in less than 2 to 3 hours, but is relatively pain-free and has little to no recovery time. Dr. David Steinblatt and his office are able to help and treat patients who suffer from cerebral palsy, traumatic brain injury, stroke, macular degeneration, arthritis, Parkinson's disease, congestive heart failure, and more. Personally using their services for my knee and seeing great improvement, Dr. David Steinblatt is highly recommended by me. Go to stemcellmd.org or call 800-300-1063 to find out more. Again, stemcellmd.org or call 800-300-1063 today to receive more information.
Herbal Healer Academy presents its spring specials. All sizes of our 500 parts per million colloidal silver are on sale, along with products to help you lose weight, like apple cider vinegar, Hoodia, Metabolic Complex, and Pro Metabolic. That's not all. Anti-Parasite Intestinal Freedom, Wormwood Plus Complex, Stevia Liquid Sweetener, and the Super Enzymes are on sale. Visit HerbalHealer.com to order yours. Request our free 128-page catalog. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time. HerbalHealer.com.
What really happened? Wouldn't you like to know? Tune in to Fight with Arrow. Hear the ad-free low. Tired of the mainstream media lies. Listen to the mic and really open your eyes. Tune in to Fight with Arrow.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. Here we're going to go right to the phones. Carl in North Carolina, thank you for waiting. What's on your mind today?
Hey, how you doing, Mr. Riviere? What I was calling about today is the 16th Amendment. I've heard you state several times that when the federal judge, I believe it was a district court judge in Chicago, I believe, in, I don't know, 1937, sometime back when they challenged the validity of whether the 16th Amendment was ratified or not. I've heard you speak of this, and I wanted to let you know that that's a bit of a rat hole or a rabbit hole for the mere fact that the 16th Amendment can't be enforced because it flies directly in the face of, what is it, Article 1, Section 9, Clause 8.
That You're says, absolutely you know, right.
Right. That's why it was never ratified, because it couldn't be ratified. You'd have to first repeal Article 1, Section 9, Clause 8 before you could even think of ratifying.
Okay, you're very close. First of all, let me correct a couple of things. The lawsuit that we're referring to is Sullivan versus United States, and it wasn't back in the 1930s. It happened quite recently because the actual purpose of the lawsuit was to invalidate the war in Iraq because it lacked a constitutional declaration. And the judge was trying to explain to the petitioner why, you know, sometimes things that aren't the letter of the law are simply treated as if they're the law because, you know, once they've gotten away with it a few times, they're in the habit, they continue to do it. And he chose as his example of that the 16th Amendment. He admitted in the court record that on examination, the 16th Amendment was not legally ratified. Then he goes on to say, but you know, we've been acting as if it was real for so long that we all just treat it like it was ratified. Like, so all the judges know that this is a huge fraud that's going on. Now,
exactly.
with regard to the ratification, it might have been ratified, you know, if the 75% of the states in existence at the time had voted for it, it could have been ratified, but you're absolutely right. It would have directly conflicted with the provision in the Constitution that says all direct taxes have to be apportioned. Now, the rules for the Constitution are that it must be internally self-consistent, and to be of proper form, the 16th Amendment should have simply said, Article 1, Section 8, wherever that is, the apportionment clause is hereby repealed, and then go on to say the government can grab money from anybody that it wants to do. Because of that deficiency and some other issues, the United States Supreme Court ruled in a case called Stanton versus Baltic Mining that the 16th Amendment did not actually confer any new tax authority on the U.S. government. It was effectively null and void. And so, again, you know, the government is telling you this is what the law is, but it isn't really. If the, you know, the government's clearly not been playing by the rules all along. They're just relying on the corporate media to say, oh, yes, we've just made up a new law and it's perfectly valid. It lets us take more of your money to give to the bankers. There's a guy by the name of Bill Benson who literally did the research. He went to all of the states that had been in existence in 1916, went into their state archives, and he looked at the actual bills of ratification. And he right. found all these problems where the bill didn't actually pass. It wasn't actually signed by the governor, where they had rewritten the amendment. You're not allowed to do that. It's an invalid ratification if you change the wording or even the punctuation. And he put together a two-volume set of books called The Law That Never Was. And it's caused quite a bit of a stir, and the government has tried to suppress it. They went after him legally. Everybody who stands up to this fraud, they're going to get attacked. Joe Bannister is a good example. I mean, he's a former IRS investigator, carried a gun. And he started hearing about all this hemming and hawing, and he said, you know, I need to know for my own conscience, before I pull a gun on an American taxpayer, that the law is really on my side. Where is the law that says this is, you know, we're supposed to be collecting taxes on, I think it was the issue of taxes on wages and salaries, coming out of the idea that since you're trading your labor for your paycheck, there's no profit, and therefore no taxes due on that. And I may be guessing on that one, but basically the IRS told Joe Bannister, we're going to process your retirement immediately, or your resignation immediately, and they basically kicked him out. And we've seen that from a lot of these people who work inside the tax system, where all of a sudden they wake up one morning and saying, wait a minute, something just doesn't seem right here. And, of course, the IRS will fire them or resign them or retire them or something like that and get them on out of there. But all of these various tax protest movements have for more than 10 years gone to the Internal Revenue Service and said, let us please settle this matter now once and for all. Okay?
Right.
Just show us.
They wanted to see the law, correct? They kept wanting to redress of grievances and to see the law. And that's another one of my points. I've looked into this for quite a long time.
Mm-hmm.
There isn't a law. You are giving your money to the Internal Revenue. And people may think I'm trying to plug one of your sponsors, but I'm not. It really is by contract, because there is no viable law. And that's why they want, when they go to Washington for redress of grievances, or they just keep saying, you know, just show me the law, you're not going to see a law because there is no law. You're under contract.
This is where the Federal Reserve and the Treasury Department are immune from these constitutional restrictions. I mean, they like to sort of present a quasi-governmental image, but the reality is the Internal Revenue Service is a private collection corporation working for a privately owned central bank, and they like to pretend they're part of the government. That's why the Federal Reserve calls itself the Federal Reserve, but it's no more federal than Federal Express. And yet, when people try to file Freedom of Information Act requests against the Federal Reserve, the first thing they say is, hey, we're a private bank here, and, you know, we're not subject to that law. So, basically...
Under contract. If you're under contract, that basically supersedes the Constitution, because anybody in America has the unlimited right to contract. Otherwise, you know, we couldn't exist. We couldn't do business, you know. And so that sometimes that's going to interfere with your constitutionally protected rights. So you have to have the unlimited right to contract to have a free society.
I haven't actually looked at this the product or the book or whatever it is they're selling about this contract issue. But one of the essences of contract law is that both parties have to know all the terms of the contract. And so, you know, if the IRS is claiming that we're supposed to pay them taxes because we have contracted with them to do so, where did that contract come from? You know, when did we sign it? They can't just do this idea that, you know, when you accept a taxpayer identification number, that obligates you to the contract even though you've never seen it. That wouldn't hold up in a court
exactly.
of law.
Exactly, it wouldn't hold up, but nobody ever challenges it in such a manner. And I promise you that as soon as somebody tries to challenge it in such a manner, they'll just say, well, you know what, we'll let you buy this time, just pay your taxes and don't worry about it.
Well, listen, we're coming up on a commercial break, so I'm going to have to let you go here. You know, with regard to the taxes, they're going to take your money, period, end of discussion. You know, the judges in those courts, their salaries come from tax money. The court building is built with tax money. All the people who work there are paid from tax money. It's a clear conflict of interest. They are not interested in the letter of the law or the historical accuracy of your case. In fact, if you walk into a tax law case carrying Bill Benson's book, they'll hit you with a $25,000 fine because and say it's trivial nonsense. You're wasting the court's time. I mean, that's how afraid they are of it. What is going to change the system is when, you know, 300 million American taxpayers all stand up and say, this has been a gigantic 100-year fraud. And the fact that everybody else around me fell for the fraud doesn't obligate me to go along with it anymore. And that's when things are going to start really, really unraveling, okay? So we're going to let Carl go here. And we're going to start with Art off the grid. And Art, we're probably going to have to take you through the commercial break.
Oh, that's okay, Mike. I don't mind. Talking about income tax, it's just something I've done a little research on. And what got me into researching this was, you remember what it was her name, Sherry Jackson?
Yes.
And it wasn't shortly after I heard about her story that I learned about Joe Bannister. And then, I followed his work for quite some time. And I also had contact. I don't know if you are familiar with a fellow named Lewis Hughes.
I've heard the name, yes.
He was a guest several times here on RBN back several years ago. I ended up corresponding with him over about a three-month period while he was educating me on this. And some of the things that I've learned was, one...
Art, there's the music. Keep that thought. I want you to come right back to it when we return from these commercials.
I bet you didn't know that some of you can live in Asia on just the amount of your new Obamacare premium increase alone. Shocking, I know. Options for early retirement, second or primary residence, visas, legal, business startup. Admit it, you've thought about it for years. It's time. Go to AsiaRunLikeHellGuide.com, a down-and-dirty guide on doing it once, doing it right, and on the cheap. AsiaRunLikeHellGuide.com. AsiaRunLikeHellGuide.com.
What will you do without freedom? That's the question the American Freedom Party is asking as a high-tech surveillance state continues to be constructed in the one-time land of liberty. Through methodical gradualism over many years, the United States has been hollowed out economically and morally. The Republican Party is little more than a partner in crime to the open globalism and cultural Marxism of the Democrats. Both parties support the offshoring of American industry and jobs, open borders, endless wars of aggression all over the world, and slavish obedience to Israel and to the banksters and gangsters of Wall Street. The American Freedom Party is guided by the sole principle of supporting what's good for America and Americans. The American Freedom Party rejects the archaic liberal conservative paradigm in favor of an outspoken advocacy of freedom and liberty that rings true to America's traditional values and way of life. The hour is late, but America can yet survive and begin to thrive again if enough Americans act to regain their freedom. The alternative is too bleak to contemplate. Learn more about the American Freedom Party by going to AmericanFreedomPartyInfo.us. That's AmericanFreedomPartyInfo.us.
If you're worried about your health and you're tired of the nasty side effects of harsh drugs or antibiotics, then look no further. Supernatural Silver is the answer. Supernatural Silver is a powerful immune system enhancer that can be used every day to help keep you healthy and well with none of those nasty side effects. It's extremely safe for use internally as well as topically. And supernatural silver is hundreds of times more effective than colloidal or ionic silver. It is perfect for use in the sinuses, eyes, ears, and on any wound or skin issue. Supernatural silver is also extremely effective when taken orally and can help fight off bacteria, viruses, and mold that may be overwhelming your immune system. Go to SupernaturalSilver.com. SupernaturalSilver.com. And use the promo code SILVER2014 for 20% off of your entire order. And give yourself and your loved ones a fighting chance with Supernatural Silver.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.
Hey, neighbor, what are you doing digging? You had a heart attack last year.
Oh, I know. I was told no more hard labor.
Then why are you digging?
Well, I've been taking ExtendoVite. It's been approved to help my heart.
ExtendoVite? Is that a new drug?
No, not a drug. It's more like an herbal combination made from garlic and cayenne.
Herbal? How can that help?
Well, actually, we've taken herbs for thousands of years. And ExtendoVite is doing the job for me.
Does your doctor know about ExtendoVite?
Yeah, my doctor knows, and he said it seems to be working for you, so don't stop taking it. I feel great taking ExtendoVite. I don't want to stop.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.
Herbal Healer Academy presents its spring specials. All sizes of our 500 parts per million colloidal silver are on sale, along with products to help you lose weight, like apple cider vinegar, Hoodia, Metabolic Complex, and Pro Metabolic. That's not all. Anti-Parasite Intestinal Freedom, Wormwood Plus Complex, Stevia Liquid Sweetener, and the Super Enzymes are on sale. Visit HerbalHealer.com to order yours. Request our free 128-page catalog. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time. HerbalHealer.com.
Well, they're stealing down on Wall Street and in Washington, too. You know, it makes me wonder, what's a guy on Main Street to do? I've always tried to be an honest, upstanding kind of guy. But I must admit lately, I thought about giving something else a try. Oh, I want to be a pirate. I want to sail the seven seas. Yeah, I want to be a pirate.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. And before we go back to Art Off the Grid here, I'm getting a ton of email, and I got a lot of email yesterday after David Merlin's appearance on the show. And remember, he's now got his own show on RBN Saturday mornings from 7 a.m. to 8 a.m. East Coast time, talking about these subjects. I got an email saying that apparently Bill Benson's book, The Law That Never Was, that in intense detail shows why the 16th Amendment wasn't actually ratified, is available at the Pirate Bay. I'm a little leery about handing that information out, and I'm not going to link to it because Bill deserves to be paid for his book, which you can order from his website at thelawthatneverwas.com. And also another reminder that if you just go out to any search engine like Google, and just type in 16th Amendment never ratified, you will get thousands of hits. Go over to YouTube. There's 100 videos out there from people going in and documenting that this 16th Amendment, which is the foundation for this whole income tax fraud, wasn't actually legally ratified. And remember, the Federal Reserve and that 16th Amendment came in at the exact same time. And because of the trouble they had getting that 16th put over on the people, I think is why they decided to not try and use a constitutional amendment to transfer the government's money creation authority over to that private bank, the Federal Reserve. And instead, they met over the Christmas holiday, passed the Federal Reserve Act. Woodrow Wilson signed it to make it law. But it is unconstitutional. The Constitution gives the government the authority to create all money and does not authorize the government to delegate it or transfer it to any third party. So the Federal Reserve Act is unconstitutional. It's part of this gigantic fraud that was perpetrated to sell you into the slavery of these private central bankers. Anyway, let's go back to Art. Art, would you please pick up where you had left off?
Okay, yeah, thanks, Mike. And I'm going to bring the Constitution into this as well. And I really wished I could have gotten a chance to talk to David Merlin yesterday, because a couple things I wanted to run by him, and we'll get your thoughts as well. And when he comes to RBN, I will be calling in and running them by him to get his thoughts, because I like to make sure I'm on the right track. And, wow, the information he was throwing out yesterday was just amazing. It's my understanding, first of all, that the Social Security card is property of the federal government, and by law, only federal employees are allowed to possess them. So it only stands to reason by my logic, and I've got more to go, that if you possess and use one, you are thereby admitting you are a federal employee. And when it comes to who's required to pay federal minimum wage, or I'm sorry, federal income tax, to my knowledge, the only ones required are things like corporations, businesses, and federal employees. Now, when we talk about income tax, we go to the Constitution and we see in there where it says where Congress has the right to levy taxes and so on. It states from the source derived. Well, we have a Supreme Court case, and I cannot for the life of me remember. Somebody may want to research this. A Supreme Court case where the Supreme Court stated that your labor is your property,
yes,
and income is defined as profit. Well, this brings into the discussion Section 83 that David Merlin talks about, where it states clearly, and I went and I checked this, and brother, he is dead on the money when he says this. Anything beyond your compensation is taxable income. That means if you work for $5 an hour, you work 20 hours, that's $100, that's not taxable because that's your compensation for your labor. The Supreme Court says labor is private property cannot be taxed. But if your boss gives you $50 at the end of, say, 3 months and says, this I want to give you to say thank you, that is above your compensation, and that then can be taxed.
Well, that's definitely one of the major points that's out there. I don't want to get lost in the trivia here, but I do want to refer everybody back to this wonderful documentary, America from Freedom to Fascism.
Aaron Russo.
Aaron Russo. I was trying to remember his name there because we had him on the show shortly before he passed away. And there's this wonderful scene where Aaron Russo is literally talking to one of the top officials at the IRS, and he's citing mm-hmm. all these Supreme Court decisions, and this IRS official keeps saying, oh, those don't matter anymore. That was long ago. We're not bound by those anymore. That's their attitude. That's their attitude here. You know, and, you know, I got to relink that to the front page of my website. People need to look at that documentary again.
Yeah, anyone who's not seen that really needs to see that Freedom to Fascism, because it really exposes the true fraud of all of this. And it's wonderful the way he sets it up, where he's got this guy sitting there going, and then, of course, when he confronts Harry, when you have people like Jan Helfield as well, literally confronting Harry Reid face-to-face, and Harry Reid admitting that taxes are voluntary, but then turns right around and says, but if you don't pay them, we'll throw you in jail. Well, first he says, well, we don't throw anybody in jail for not paying. Well, actually, yeah, we do. I mean, this whole thing is just nothing but a fraud. And so
yeah,
what I tell people is just don't, if you want to get, I don't believe in evading taxes because that is illegal. If you evade taxes, that means you actually owe them. But if you can avoid taxes, by all means do it. But if you're going to do it, you need to do what I do. I don't use a Social Security card to secure employment.
Well, that's okay for your particular circumstance here. For me, the issue is one of a government that is lying to us about everything. And the government's going to say, you owe this, you must do that, you have to do that. And trust us, it's all the letter of the law. And then we find out it isn't, that they're just shoveling the USDA choice bovine excrement at us as hard as they can. They're using a snowblower to get our money, our obedience, to get our children to fight in their wars. The current U.S. government is basically operating on the same moral level as the Sheriff of Nottingham, sending out his thugs across the countryside to steal chickens and pigs whenever they feel like it.
Yeah, this is very true. But, you know, There's the old saying that just because you say it doesn't make it true. That's like they would love you to believe that, say, for example, I live in a camper. Okay, I live in a 24-foot gooseneck camper. Now, they would like you to believe that I am required by law to pay a tax on this camper every year to keep it tagged and whatnot so I can move it, do whatever I want to do. That's actually not the case because I actually went to the courthouse and I confronted the clerk of court right there in front of everybody and got an open admission that only if and until I register the camper, it can't be taxed.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I bought the camper, I forego the title transfer and simply acquired a bill of sale. And you cannot
We're getting into a real narrow context situation here that I don't think most of our listeners are really going to find anything applicable to their situation. For me, the issue gets back to one that does affect every single living American and everybody listening to this show. The government is lying to you all the time to get your money, your obedience, your children for wars. And at some point, 300 million Americans are going to have to stand up and say, I've had it. I'm not going to live under a government that lies to me like this. The government, by virtue of all of these lies, has delegitimized itself. I don't recognize or acknowledge it has lawful authority over me any longer. That's when it's going to start coming apart. Okay, so Art, we're going to let you go here. We're coming up here on the top of the hour. And we're going to be looking at some more of the stuff that's going on here. Interesting story out of Ex-Republic TV. The U.S. drone program under Obama got out of hand. That's certainly true, and that's probably the reason we're getting this story out of Afghanistan. About a four-year-old girl had her face blown off by a drone strike, and parents are saying that U.S. military kidnapped her and took her away so they couldn't take pictures of her. Put it on social media here. Another little piece of good news, finally a decision out of the United States Supreme Court we can all agree with. The Supreme Court ruled 9-0 against Obama administration's boundless interpretation of the chemical weapons law. We'll be back after our top of the hour break.